In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Son of Man is returning in his glory. That is, he is returning with the glory secured by his cross. Shortly before his death, Christ testified, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." He created all things. He has all power, wisdom, and knowledge. He's present everywhere. He rules over all things. But his greater glory is how he uses his power, wisdom, knowledge, and presence for us and for our salvation. He lays down his life for his enemies. He takes away the sins of the world. He forgives, not simply once, but constantly. He can't help but to forgive. So the cross isn't just one part of Christ's story, something he had to go through. But the cross is integral to who he is and why he has glory. The cross is why he will come in that glory on the last day. The cross is why he will judge all people. The cross is why he is our Lord and our Savior. Even in heaven, the saints and angels forever praise Christ because of what he accomplished on Calvary. The nail marks will radiate, the spear's puncture will shine. When the Son of Man returns in the glory secured by that cross, all people will confess Jesus to be God, crucified and risen from the dead. So whenever we study Scripture, we must look at the context. For Christ himself testified that those who have done good will enter eternal life. So we need to look at the context. Many heresies and false teachings have arisen because an individual or a group of people have taken a sentence or two out of context. So here Christ praises us for our good works. But what does he say just prior to this? He calls them blessed by the Father. He tells them to take an inheritance, something, the kingdom, prepared for them since the creation of the world. And finally, he calls them righteous. So let us unpack what this means. They are blessed by the Father. To be blessed means to have good things spoken about you. God is the one who blesses. He says good things about them because they believe in Jesus, as Christ said, Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. They dare not come to the Father except through Jesus. Only his blood grants access to God. Only his death could take away their sins. They are reconciled to God through Jesus. Where once there was wrath, there now is peace. Where once there was punishment, there now is blessedness. The cup of blessing overflows as God pours out his blessings without measure. The saints of God are simply passive recipients of God's blessings. And so they receive heaven because God has blessed them. Next, Jesus calls heaven an inheritance. An inheritance is not something that you earn. It's not a reward. Rather, it's a gift. It's not based on whether you deserve it or not, but it's based on who you are related to. Through baptism, you were born into the family of God. Jesus is the only eternal Son of God. But now through those waters, you can claim God to be your Father, for he has claimed you to be his beloved Son. You stand with Christ. You are an heir with Christ of all things. He shares everything with you, keeps nothing for himself. And so God has made it your right to receive heaven because of who your Father is. He gives you blessings. He promises you this wonderful inheritance, and he is faithful. Your hard work and dedication cannot earn it. It's a gift freely given to his children. This inheritance is the kingdom of heaven, and it was prepared for you since the days Adam walked this earth. It's been yours since the very beginning of creation. So how could your works ever earn it when you weren't even alive? How could you do something to secure it for yourself or to make it more meaningful? when you weren't born till thousands of years later. God shows you at the beginning of time. He prepared this place in heaven for you and only for you. No one else can take your spot. No one else can bump you out. No one else can take what has been freely given to you as your inheritance. For through baptism, God is your Father, and Jesus is your brother. Finally, Christ calls them righteous. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So faith receives the righteousness of Christ, that perfect life and death of Christ as its own. Faith receives the blessings of God. Faith receives the inheritance of God, because it is by grace you are saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not by your works, so that no one can boast. The sheep on Christ's right look away from themselves, and they look toward those pierced hands, feet, and side. In the glorious wounds of Christ, they find salvation. They trust in his love. They hope in his death and resurrection. And Christ credits it to them as righteousness. So before any work is mentioned, Christ invites them into heaven by grace. Why then does he mention works? Because good works are proof of faith. You can't have good works if you don't have faith, because a good tree always bears good fruit. Or as the writer to the Hebrews says, without faith it is impossible to please God. The world defines good works differently than God defines them. The world says good works are whatever benefits society, and then they subjectively decide what is beneficial and what is not. But God says a good work is whatever flows from faith, and yes, it will be beneficial to others, objectively beneficial to others. But a good work is that which comes from faith. So if God praises someone for their good works, they must have faith. For no one can love if they first have not been loved. So only believers can do good works, because only believers live by faith. So what do your works now say about you? That you are kind and loving and compassionate? That you refuse to gossip and betray a friend's trust? That you are an obedient child, a faithful spouse, one who honors the institution of marriage? That you are content with your blessings? That you refuse to hurt and harm others with word and deed? Far from it. For our works show what lies in the deep recesses of our heart. It is not what goes into us that makes us unclean, but it's the sins that spew out from us that make us unclean. We have failed to love our neighbor, but we have driven into our garages and simply shut our doors so we can ignore them. We have sought our own interests instead of the interests of others. So if God were to judge us solely based on our works and what we have done, then we should be on the Lord's left with the goats. But what is worse is those goats who protest on the left. They think they've done enough. When did we fail? They retort. We helped the poor. We were kind and compassionate. We were beneficial to society. We let it progress and move forward. We donated our time, our money, even our own blood to help others. We supported all kinds of people. We didn't judge, but we welcomed strangers. We loved our family. We took care of our children. And we supported our country. But remember how God defines good works as that which comes from faith. They lack faith, so they have no good works. There's nothing to praise them about. As Christ says, they have no good works because they lack faith. To be righteous is to refuse to take credit for your own good works and to be a recipient of God's grace through faith. Yes, you perform good works. God leads you and moves you to this. This pleases God. He loves your works, even those that you are unaware of. For as it is impossible to please God without faith, so also faith will always do good works. For a good tree always bears good fruit. These good works are not perfect, but then Christ takes them, and he scrubs them with his own blood. He removes every sign of sin, and he presents them to your Father as perfect and good. So your good works are acceptable to God because of Christ and his work, even as you are acceptable to God because of Christ and his work. So from beginning to end, it is Christ and all Christ. And that is why he comes in his glory on the last day, the glory secured by his cross. For it is by those holy hands, feet, side, that he has won your salvation. Those five holy wounds will radiate with the glory of God himself. For salvation will be given to you, not as a reward based on what you have done, but it will be gifted to you because of those wounds of Christ and what he has accomplished for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.